I'm Chris Voss, sitting here with Anna Williams, Misha Veselov, and Ari Nakamura, who together are the Neve Trio, here to talk about their concert at the Longy School of Music's Pickman Hall, where they are also artists in residence and faculty in residence. Guys, Neve Trio, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
The name is a big part of who you guys are. And so I was wondering if we could just get started and have you guys, maybe Anna, if you wouldn't mind, just telling us a little bit about where that name came from and how it connects to your overall mission.
Sure, absolutely. So the name Neve is actually a Gaelic word, which means bright and radiant, but we did not know that when picking it, because that would be awfully presumptuous. it came from a very meaningful experience we had early on when we would play for this wonderful community of concert goers and got to know many of them really, really well. In particular, we made really good friends with this audience member named Bruce. And he would come to every concert. He would tell us how much it meant to him. He was just, music meant everything to him. Unfortunately, Bruce had an accident and he was unable to leave his hospital bed at a certain point. So at that point, we started going to him on a regular basis and giving what we could, playing for him. And we always honestly felt like we got more out of the experience because we would play our music for him, do what we could, and then in return, he would share these really amazing stories about his family and his life before the accident. And like most proud parents, he would talk a lot about his daughter, of whom he was really proud, and her name was Neve. So it was such a formative experience for us, and seeing, you know, how music in a very real way can serve to connect us to one another on a profound level. And so Neve is to honor him and his memory and that experience of, you know, music's power to really connect us to each other.
Well, and that is your sort of mission, which is engage, exchange, and connect. And that comes from that experience as well, right?
Absolutely, because it really was an exchange. You know, it wasn't a one-sided deal. We would play for him, but equally important, I think more important for us, is getting this this exchange of hearing about his life and that connection that was made between us and him and his, by virtue of his stories, with his family. So it was truly an opportunity that we'll never forget, and that we were able to engage with one another, have an exchange, and connect on a really profound level.
So I want to talk about this concert that we have here. Mm-hmm. It's cool because the music that you guys performed is not typically what you might get from a piano trio. So we've got this Bernstein trio, a Debussy trio, one by Boston composer Arthur Foote, and then a Piazzolla as well. So let's just talk about these pieces. I want to start with the Bernstein piece in particular. The Bernstein Centennial is coming up. And what I like about this group is that you guys are three different nationalities. Your music, there's a lot of American music that you guys play, but you guys have different ways of coming at it. So I was wondering if we wouldn't just go around the horn here and have you guys tell me how you came to Bernstein's music and what it has meant to you to then play this music, this piece here, this trio. Maybe we'll start with you, Misha.
Of course. Bernstein is such a legend, I think, worldwide. And, you know, West Side Story is in Russian. You know, it's such a known music. I grew up hearing it everywhere. And it was so neat to find that sort of rosebud where his music came from. Because he wrote it at the age of 18. He was at Harvard, just down the street from Longy, a student, and really influenced by his native, you know, his music, where he came from. His parents were from Eastern Europe. So there's a lot of kind of a Eastern European flavor in that trio, as well as a lot of Americana. So it's a mix of everything, and that's sort of what the States is about. I think that sort of melting pot of cultures. And to see that even in the very beginning of his art, his music, was so so valuable and so interesting.
Well, in Japan, he's really well known, maybe more as a conductor, and, well, of course, as a composer too. But his West Side Story, that the, you know, movie, everything is very well known. And I got a chance to play in the orchestra too for West Side Story. The music is just incredible, like amazing piano parts, and like, so I always loved Bernstein's music. And when I came to the piano trio, it's just, you know, like you can see how his mind was working when he was young and how he came to be the very famous Bernstein. It's very exciting.
I was thinking, it's funny that this is Bernstein's homework project at Harvard and we play it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And you as an American violinist?
Well, I mean, I think, sort of to piggyback on what's been said, for me, I think the most meaningful thing about it is that it's Bernstein before he was Bernstein. You know, it's sort of getting a peek behind the curtain as he was still developing his voice. And so there are things in it that you can kind of tell he's experimenting with this idea. And, you know, I would imagine his professors at Harvard were like, get it together. You know, I mean, he really plays around with a lot of different ideas. Sometimes it sounds very much like a hoedown. You could almost mistake it for something Copland could have written. Sometimes, you know, it sounds like there's a lot of crunchy tonality going on at once. But so I think there's something really inspiring for people who are, you know, in the process of finding their musical voice as well, that even the great Leonard Bernstein, you know, he was Lenny, and he was figuring it out like everybody else, and to see that's pretty cool.
I want to get back to that idea in a little bit, because you guys are at Laundry, and you do have this responsibility in some ways as teachers of a next generation. But before we get to that, Bernstein isn't the only baby composer on the program. The whole first half of the program is baby composers, baby Debussy in particular.
Yes. Baby Debussy.
He was also 18 when he wrote this piece, and a piece that we didn't know about until like the 1980s or something like that. What is it like to go into this piece, this Debussy, that maybe doesn't necessarily sound like Debussy like we would expect?
Yes, this piece was actually very close to my heart, I would say, because he was, when he was 18, he was hired by a Russian, very rich and famous patroness of Tchaikovsky, actually. She hired him to teach her kids piano and play piano trios every evening, which sounds like a great gig. And the string players he was playing with were Russian string players from Moscow Conservatory. So I think he was sort of surrounded by that Russian influence, you know, the romantic style, the melodies of Tchaikovsky music. And, you know, Tchaikovsky dedicated his Fourth Symphony to this woman, Madame von Meck. You can hear that in his music, that melodic material, and sort of sometimes almost like ballet sounding music, but you still at the same time you hear a little bit of that Debussy voice in it as well, that French impressionistic sprouting kind of color here and there. So it's a really, really cool piece, very beautiful and very sincere and earnest as well.
Is it a piece that you came to in Russia, or is it a piece you came to here and learned about after?
No, I learned about it here. We actually just recorded the old French album for Shandos, and that one of the pieces that we sort of grabbed onto because it's such a beautiful piece and very different from all other French music.
The other composer that I really love on this program is a gentleman that I think probably should be known more, mm-hmm. especially here in Boston, because he was a superstar here in Boston in the turn of the late 19th century, early 20th century. That's Arthur Foote, and you guys have one of his two piano trios on the program. What does this piece tell you about American music at that time, about that turn of the century kind of style? Is there something about it maybe that even just marks it as particularly American, Arthur Foote's music, or not? Or does it not sound that way?
Well, I mean, I would say that in this trio in particular, you can hear what he was kind of known for, which was not going along with the stuff that was en vogue, the stuff that was trendy, which happened to be things that would cause riots in concert halls. You know, he was someone who was really influenced by and loved the sort of great romantic European tradition, even though he ironically never studied in Europe, which was kind of a rare thing for someone at that time.
He was the first, right? American?
Yeah. And in this trio, there are so many like heartfelt melodies. The second movement comes to mind is like so sincere, so like lush and just gorgeous. And that was kind of what he was going for. You know, he was going for not being controversial. He was being true to his voice, which was this very, in a lot of ways, really sincere, romantic voice. And he was, you know, you could argue he's sort of he was out of his, you know, time period, because there were other composers that were all about pushing the envelope, but he kind of stayed true to his own center, his own voice.
How did you guys come to this piece? It is a sort of a unique piece you don't get to hear a lot.
How do we come to this?
well, we were...
it was another recording project that Bernstein and Foote were on as American Moments City that we recorded a couple years ago. And we also were trying to pick American music that is of different styles. And mm-hmm. Bernstein and Foote, even though Bernstein wrote his trio only a couple years after Foote's death, which is, you would never think. It feels like a century apart. So they couldn't be more different, but nevertheless, they both American composers, and mm-hmm. sort of highlight that difference was the goal,
and that American music can mean so many different
exactly,
things.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah,
let's get to your partnership with the Laundrie School of Music. Talk to me about that. What we were talking about earlier about that passing it on to the next generation and having that influence on the next round of students, and what that means to you guys individually as a unit, as a trio.
It's pretty exciting. I mean, I don't know if I think I'm speaking for everyone. You know, it's a huge honor, and certainly you feel that responsibility of, you know, really wanting to help guide the next generation, for lack of a better term, you know, into finding their voice. But it's a really rewarding, awesome privilege to be able to do that. And both, you know, whether it's in coaching chamber music or individual lessons, you can kind of see these, not to circle back to the Leonard Bernstein thing, but it's really true. You can sort of see these identities start to form, and it's our job to sort of encourage them along the way and maybe point them in directions that they might not expect. But and we're also trying to help our students to think in terms of, you know, the music world as it is, not maybe as it was a couple decades ago. And so we've one of the things that we're just excited to help them with is thinking of ways that they can collaborate that, you know, go outside of the traditional I guess, realm. So, you know, thinking of ways that they could work with visual artists or dancers or choreographers or, you know, things like that. So, I don't know. I'm really excited about what the future holds and the direction that Laundrie is going to be part of it.
Yeah, I wanted to add to that. The Laundrie is such a perfect place for that kind of approach, because there's so many project-based classes and courses and just projects that you can partake in as a student, and we found that sort of common ground with Laundrie, that idea of collaboration and sort of taking more to the music than just a, you know, traditional performance, which is nothing wrong with, but Laundrie's also goal of trying to find a way for students to make a difference in the world and find their own sort of path, as opposed to just a traditional career, which only a few lucky ones get to have. And even those ones, they still do other things now that sort of add to that. So we found that such an inspiring environment for students at Laundrie that helps them find that way and that voice that Anna mentioned. So we're really lucky and happy to be there.
Man, I like that. It really connects back to your engage and connect and exchange sort of motto.
It does feel like, hey, this is more than serendipity. I don't know. It feels like a really wonderful home for us, and we're just thrilled to be there and to be part of, you know, what they're doing, because it seems that that's, whether stated or not, that seems to be their also modus operandi in helping students.
Well, again, we're very excited to have you back in the Boston area.
Thanks,
and very
Chris.
Much looking forward to all the things you guys are going to be doing here for this area and for the musicians in the area. Thank you so much, Anna and Misha and Ari Neef Trio, for coming by and talking to me.
Thank you so
Thanks
much.
Thanks for having us.